Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. If you have found that, would you say amen? Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. He didn't say holy acceptable. It's not W, holy. It's holy. And then the next thought is, and acceptable. I want you to bring your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want to just talk to you tonight for a few moments from these few scriptures and see what the Lord will speak into our hearts and our spirits tonight. All right? Let's lift our voices and pray right now. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this house right now. Lord, I just plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over this house right now. God, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, I plead the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I loose upon us the anointing of the Lord and the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that it would move and speak into our hearts and our minds tonight, God, that you would deal with us and that you would challenge us and you would work on us tonight and help us to receive something from your word and not to be just hearers of this word tonight, but God, help us to be doers of your word, I pray as well. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians at Rome. He's writing, of course, we understand that Romans is written to the Christians that are at Rome, and Thessalonians are written to the, there's a letter written to the church at Thessalonica, and the Corinthians is written to the church at Corinth. We understand that. And so to the church at Rome, he writes here in this 12th chapter and in this first verse, he makes this statement in this letter. He says, I beseech you now, my brethren. He's not talking to unbelievers, but he's talking very specifically to the believers who are in the church at Rome. And he says, I am beseeching you. In other words, it's not a small thing what I'm getting ready to say to you. It is not an insignificant thing, and it is not something that you should look lightly upon, but I beseech you. I beg you, I plead with you, I'm asking you to lend me your ears, as one man said. Lend me your ears, lend me your heart. I want to speak to you. I am beseeching you. There have been times as a pastor that I have literally gotten on my knees while I am preaching to try to convey to the congregation, please listen to what I am saying, right? I'm on my knees literally, and I am pleading with you to listen to what I am trying to say to you. And that's really the feeling of what Paul is saying here. I beseech you now, my brethren. I beseech you. How do I beseech you? He says, I beseech you by the mercies of Almighty God. He said, because God is merciful every morning. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that I know that the mercies of God are new every single morning. Because I know that every single day I live, I need a fresh dose of mercy the next day. I know that as much as I try to serve the Lord, and as much as the Holy Spirit helps me in serving the Lord, that I still need the mercies of God to be new over my life every single day. There is not one morning that I arise and I arise in perfection, but every day I arise needing His perfection. Every day I arise needing His mercy and His love and His forgiveness and His compassion and yes, His grace that will open the doors of my life again today that I might receive what God has in store for me. Because no doubt, since yesterday, I have invited stuff in my my life that should have closed the door upon me. But the grace of God and the mercies of God are new every day, and He opens the door afresh and anew every day in my life, that in spite of myself, I can still receive from the Lord the good things that He has for my life. He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Number one, he said, I beseech you that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now watch this. He says, and you can do this. How can you do this? By the mercies of God. He said, because of the mercy of God in your life, you can give yourself to be a living sacrifice. A living, not a dead sacrifice. He was very specific, a living sacrifice. In other words, you are the one that's making the decision, I'm going to lay myself upon the altar. Nobody had to kill me to do it. Nobody had to take my life from me in order to lay me down as a sacrifice to the Lord. But rather, I am a living sacrifice. I am willingly taking my life and I am offering it to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Nobody had to bound my hands or bind my feet, but I am taking myself freely. No one's binding me up, but I am freely taking my life and I am laying it on the altar of Almighty God. And I am saying, God, I do not know what you will do with my life. I do not know what you will plan for my future. I do not know what you will ask of me or what you will require of me, but I am laying my life down on the altar of God as a living sacrifice. I choose to be your follower. I choose to be your servant. Jesus said, if any man would follow me, let him first count the cost. Before he tries to even take up the cross, let him count the cost and decide whether he's ready to bear up under that burden. Is he willing to give, or is she willing to give of their life what Christ requires of their life? Make no mistake about it. I know I've said it often, but make no mistake about it, that a life that is lived for Jesus Christ is a life that will be surrounded by constant change. He will always be changing your motive to make them better. He'll be changing your attitude to make it better. He'll be changing your spirit to make it better. He doesn't intend for you to be tomorrow what you were today, but He intends to be working change in your life. It's called sanctification. It's an old-fashioned word, but that word sanctification means the ongoing process of becoming more like Him and more of what He would want me to be. You still with me this evening? And so the Apostle Paul writes to the believers at Rome and says, I am begging you, I am beseeching you that by the mercies of God, no, you cannot do it on your own. You cannot lay yourself down on your own. Your flesh will fight you every step of the way. Your flesh is not designed for the cause of self-sacrifice. That is not what your flesh is designed for. It's just not how you're wired. He said, but by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, you can come to a place where you start laying your life down as a living sacrifice before the Lord. God, I want to live the life that you want me to live. God, I want to live out the kind of life that you want me to live out. You hear what I'm saying to you tonight? I want to live out in this world the kind of life that you want me to live out. That's what I want to do with this life that I have. It is a living, it's a life-filled sacrifice. He said, my brethren, I beseech you to make yourselves, number one, living sacrifices. Number two, he said, I beseech you that you would make yourself holy. Now, what does he mean be holy? The word holy is very simple. It means to be set apart. We can give it all the other meanings we want, but in its purest form, it is quite simply to be set apart. It is not like everything else. When we say God is holy, what we're saying is he has no comparison. There's no one, there's no category to fit him in where there's anything else in that category. He is perfectly unique in every single capacity. He is set apart. He is holy. And the Apostle Paul said, I want you, I beseech you in this world, in this life, I am begging you that you would set your life apart from the rest of this world. In other words, I don't want you to be like the rest of the world. I don't want you to behave like the rest of the world. Now, I know in Pentecost, we have brought much of that down very much to a clothesline standard. But he's, look, what he's dealing with is so beyond that. He's saying, I don't want you to have their attitude. I don't want you to respond the way they respond. I don't want you giving hate for hate. I don't want you giving vengeance for vengeance. I don't want you to give an eye for an eye. I want you to turn the other cheek. I want you to go the extra mile. I want you to give the coat and the cloak also. I want you to pray for your enemies. In other words, he says, I want you to be holy. I want you to be set apart. I want you to be different than the rest of the world. I wish somebody would hear what I'm saying right now. I don't want you to look at the world and then justify the way you live your life by the measuring stick of how they live their lives. But I want you to set your life apart and be holy before the Lord. I want you to live with a different attitude than the world lives with, a different spirit, a different motive. I don't want to be political, but we are living it. I have never seen anything like what I'm watching in this election season. No matter what your politics, I have never seen anything like what I'm seeing in this election season. And I'm not talking about the politicians. I'm talking about the people. I'm talking about the actions and the attitudes and the violence and the disrespect and all of that of citizens to other citizens. At least we used to be able to agree to disagree. We can't even do that anymore. He said, but you know what? I don't want my church to be that way. I want you to be holy. I hope I'm making... Boy, it's quiet in here. I want you to be holy. I want you... He said, I'm beseeching you. This isn't just a suggestion. I'm begging you. I am pleading with you. I want you to understand the gravity of what I'm saying. That in this world, you need to set yourself apart from the attitude and the motive and the way people respond and all of that. You need to set your life apart. I'm begging with you. He said, I'm pleading with you to make yourself a living sacrifice. Someone who lays their life out before the Lord. And to be holy. And to set yourself apart from the way the world lives. And again, we like to throw out things like drinking and cussing and all that. And that's great. Stay away from all that stuff. Okay? Stay away. But let's go deeper than that. You know, Jesus said, the law says, don't murder. But I say, don't hate. Jesus said, the law says, don't commit adultery. And I say, don't lust. In other words, Jesus said, you're worried about everything out here, the byproduct, and I'm worried about the heart of the matter. He said, you're worried about what the inside is producing on the outside, and I'm worried about getting the inside right. Or you're worried about the outside. He said, but I'm trying to worry about the inside. That's why I have come, is to change who and what you are. Listen to me very clearly. You say, well, that's just how I am. That's just the way I'm made. That's just, you know what? Then you need to let the Holy Spirit work on your attitude and your anger and your the way you respond to people. You need to let the Holy Spirit work on that and change that. I said, I want you to be a living sacrifice that is holy. And then he says this word, and I beseech you to live lives that are acceptable. You know what that tells me? That there are lives that are unacceptable to the Lord. You know, the scripture said it this way. It said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. He said, you know, there's a way that's unacceptable. It seems right to man, but the end of it is eternal damnation and death. Death really is not when the heart stops. It is eternal separation from the presence of Almighty God. He said, so this is what I'm begging you, is that you would make your lives living sacrifices. Now watch this. And don't take your lives up again. Count the cost, weigh it out, make a decision. There's no going back. There's no turning around. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a living sacrifice. I've laid my life. Nobody made me do it. Listen, you know, when I was growing up in Pentecost some time ago, we had a way of making you feel guilty and making you feel, am I sometimes manipulated. We would put pressure on people. And you know what? But the scripture says, that's not what I want. I want you just to make an honest decision. I just want you to make an honest choice. Do you want to be his follower or not? And what we would do is we would do things in order, people didn't want to be his follower, but they were afraid to leave because of whatever reason. And the thing was, it wasn't doing them no good to be here. right? So the scripture says, don't do that. It says you just make an honest decision. Do you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ or don't you? Do you want to live your life according to his word or don't you? He says, let yourself be a living sacrifice, holy, and then live a life that is acceptable. Boy, you're quiet tonight. Live a life that is acceptable to the Lord. How do I live an acceptable life? I live a life that is obedient to this book. I live a life, as I study this book and the Holy Spirit gives me understanding, I start living a life that is acceptable to this book. I make sure that the measuring stick of my life is right here. And not am I measuring up to what my neighbor is doing. Listen, don't measure up to what your neighbor's doing. Are you measuring up to what this book asks of your life? He says, that's the great question. Are you doing that? Let's go on. He says in the next verse, at the ending of the 12th verse, he says, live a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your, he says, it's just reasonable that you would do this. It's just reasonable that you would come to this decision. Because you were lost in a world and you had no hope. And Jesus Christ, who was without sin, took upon sin that he might forgive you and deliver you and set you free from eternal damnation. And so it's just reasonable that you would do this in response. It's just a reasonable service. It's not asking too much. It just makes sense that you would make this decision. Amen. I wish you could see what I see right now. There is stuff going on all around this building. I might as well just close my Bible and we've got to go home because there's a million things going on. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, don't be conformed, but be transformed. You know what? Both being conformed and transformed require change. Whether you're listen to me, I'm going to be done in a minute. Whether you're being conformed or transformed, there's change happening in your life. Number two, whether you're being conformed or transformed, there is submission that is happening in your life. You're submitting to something. Whether you're being conformed or transformed, you are submitting to something is putting pressure on your life. Something is exerting influence upon your life if you're being conformed or transformed. And so he said, I don't want you to be conformed to this world. To be conformed means this, that I am being changed by external forces. That there are forces out here that are influencing my life and they are affecting me and they are changing me and I am submitting to those things. They are putting external pressure upon me and I am submitting and changing and I am becoming in the image of those external forces. That's to be conformed. He said, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you, listen to me very clearly, I don't want you to let this world have such an influence upon you that you start looking like the world. And I'm not talking about your dress code. Even deeper than that, I don't want your behavior, your thinking, your motive, your attitude, the way you respond, the way you treat other people, all of that. He said, don't do like the world does. Don't do that. He said, don't be conformed to it. Do not say, well, they're doing it, so I can do it. He says, don't do that. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the external forces of this life change you. You know why? Because the things that are external, those things, they're going to change. Because I'm going to tell you, this world that I'm living, this country that I'm living in today, I was thinking about it today, it is not the country that I grew up in at all. It's nothing like the country that I grew up in. And I don't think it's for the better. I think it is definitely for the worse. I'm thankful for the helpful technologies, but technology in a lot of ways have made this country a lot worse place to be in than it was 30 years ago. It is not as good a country as it used to be. It's just not. You know what he says? But you know what? That's fine. But don't let the negativity of the nation or the negativity of society, don't let that external thing pressure you into conforming into its image. Well, this is what everybody else is doing. This is how everybody else is thinking. This is how everybody else is behaving. This is acceptable for everybody else, so it's acceptable for you, and you start being conformed. Am I making sense to anybody right now? He says, don't do that. He says, what you need to do is you need to be transformed. Transformation doesn't happen from the outside. Transformation happens from the inside. Transformation is an internal force that is affecting me internally, and there is external results that are coming as a result of it. He says, don't be conformed. Don't let the world put pressure on you, but rather let the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, let that be a force in your life that changes you and conforms you, or not conforms you, but changes you and transforms you. Let the Holy Spirit that is within you, let that be the thing that affects your motive and your attitude and the way you treat other people. It affects your kindness. It affects your love. It affects your mercy. It affects the level of your compassion. He said, let the Holy Spirit that is in you transform your life. I wish it would transform our lives to such an extent that in a year or two, we would look back and not even be able to recognize the people that we used to be. That the people that we have become is not the people that we once were even 12 months ago or 24 months ago. And that is possible. And he starts off and says, and I tell you how it's possible. It is possible by the mercies of Almighty God. You're not going to earn it. You're not going to deserve it. You're not going to work it out. You're not going to buy it. He said, but by the mercy of God, the Holy Spirit can work in your life and it can transform you. And it can cause you to be made over into the image of his Son. That's what it can transform your life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit in you can transform your life so you become more like him. I don't know about you, but I you know what? I'll just be honest. There are times I realize, I look at my life and I realize, you know what? I'm not hungry to be more like him right now. If I'm being honest, I'm sidetracked with a million other things, and thinking about becoming like him was not on my mind. I mean, am I the only one? You know, I get these times where there's a million things on my plate. I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about there's a million, I got a lot going on. And in the midst of that, I find out that I'm on autopilot and I'm just going through. And the thought of actually my life being transformed, I'm almost done, listen to me. The idea that I would make myself a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service, so that he could transform my life into what he wants it to become, it escapes me sometimes. And I have to draw myself back and I have to say, you know what? I've got to make sure, I have to make sure that what I'm watching and what I'm listening to and the conversations that I'm having and where I'm going and my friendship circle and all of that is not conforming me into their image, but rather I am finding a place with the Lord Jesus Christ where he is transforming me into his image, that I find that I'm praying more than I was praying, and that I'm kinder than I was, and I'm more temperate than I was, and I'm more compassionate than I was, and I'm more loving than I was, and I'm more forgiving than I was, and because he's transforming my life. I want to be that kind of Christian. I have to tell you, I want to be that kind of Christian. I desire to be that. I want to look back a year from now and say, I don't even recognize the man I was. Because God has transformed my life. When I say transform my life, he's transformed my thought process. He has transformed the way I process things. Hello, somebody. He has information going in does not compute and spit out the same thing it used to. Because he has transformed me. The numbers on my brain's calculator don't put out the same results they used to. He has fidgeted with them. And they used to put out results that the world said, well, 1 + 1 = 2. And God says, I'm going to change that. And I'm going to produce something else. And he's transforming me because the way I process things is being transformed. The way I respond to things is being transformed. Listen. The way I view others is being transformed. I'm trying to quit, but just the last couple days alone, I just under my voice, I've catch myself many times throughout the day just saying, Lord, you know what? I want you to help me see people the way that you see people. Because you know what? Again, I'm just being honest. It's easy to look down your nose at people sometimes, isn't it? Am I the only one? Am I the only person that ever gets... It's easy to look down your nose at people. It's easy to say, make judgment calls on others. It's easy to think things about others. You don't even know them. You're just mad at them in traffic. You don't like the groceries they're buying. You're judging them because they got a basket full of Twinkies. I had a cart the other day. I was getting a few things, and the man in front of me, in fact, I took a picture. It was such a thing. I actually stopped it, and the lady cashing him out laughed at me. She saw me, and she just shook her head. It was literally a shopping cart, nothing but potato chips, just. And then underneath it was just soda on top of soda. He spent $200 or whatever in potato chips and soda alone, and I was making judgment calls. I took a picture. I was making judgment calls. But you know, when I walked out of there, it was like the Holy Spirit said, "Who are you to judge? What? You're looking at that, but the man's got a soul. The man, why are you focused on that? Why does that even matter to you? Why are you wasting energy on that? When the things that matter and have value, you never even took time to think about. You were so busy looking at what he was buying, but you never thought about where he was going." I'm sorry, was that too honest? And so the Holy Spirit says, "I want you to be transformed by the Holy Spirit in your life so that you view people differently, you see people differently." Every Sunday I sit in the airport, and today was no different. I sat there. There was something different in my spirit today as people walk by, probably 1,000 people walk by as you're sitting there. And there was just in my mind, and I'm not bragging, it was just in my mind, it was the Lord, it was just in my mind. I would look at their faces, and what I was actually seeing wasn't making judgment calls. Well, they're attractive. They're not attractive. They're this. I wasn't making that judgment call. I do sometimes. It's not what I was doing today. What was in my heart today was, you know what? They matter to the Lord. They're important to God. They don't understand what's coming on this world. And you know what? If we're going to have revival, we have to be transformed so we start seeing people that way, that we start having an urgency to touch people's lives. Well, I've got to close. He said, I would that you would not be conformed to this world, but I would that you would let the Holy Spirit in you transform you. I would that you would let the Holy Spirit transform your thinking and your mind and your life. Praise the Lord. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I beseech you. Look at your life. Are you someone who has laid your life on the altar with the Lord? God, I want to live out the rest of my life in your will. Have I set myself apart for the service of the Lord, or am I letting this instrument get involved with things that are not a service to him? Am I living a life that is acceptable, or am I not? And then lastly, am I allowing the world to conform me into its image? Or am I allowing the Holy Spirit to transform me into his image? What am I doing? Where am I at in this thing? Where is my life at right now in this moment concerning these things? And then I have to make a decision. Am I going to change? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Spirit. Lord, we need you. In this country and in this church and in our society, and more than we've ever needed you. And as the church of the living God, we need to be transformed daily into your image. And so my prayer right now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, is that you would speak into the hearts of your people right now, that you, like the Apostle Paul, would speak into their hearts saying, "I beseech you, members of Landmark, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, by the help of God, that you would let your lives be living sacrifices, that they would be holy lives that are set apart for the service of the Lord and no one else, that they would be acceptable lives that honor and bless him, and that you would resist from being conformed to the image of this world, and that you would submit to being transformed by the indwelling Holy Spirit in your life." Lord, I pray that you'd help us, that you'd speak to us. The hour is very late. God, I just pray that you would not let us, my prayer this week is don't let us just go through another week and then come back next Sunday, but I'm praying right now that some of these folks here tonight, God, in the middle of the night, you would wake them up and you'd call them to prayer. My prayer is that some of us throughout the week, you would just inject yourselves into our thoughts and our lives and that you would remind us that we need to be transformed by your Holy Spirit, and we would pause and let you do some transforming work in our lives. God, I ask that now in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen.